destroying our past. And before I start reading the sermon, I also want to add where I read more than once that important artifacts from ancient Egypt, when Howard Carter opened the tomb of Tutankhamun back in 1922, when these artifacts were, like the papyrus, different papyrus, were supposed to be shipped to museums in Britain, they never made it. They were sabotaged. And the reason they were sabotaged was because they revealed the truth, and it conflicted with Christianity and Islam, of course. But I'm just saying, like, they weren't shipped properly, one of them because of the age, and they were extremely fragile, and they were turned to dust. This is no different. Most of us here know Christianity is a hoax, but to what extent is another matter. It is a hoax of catastrophic proportions. A study of medieval paintings reveals a cry for help. Many of the artists of the period left messages in their work. There were quite a few paintings, all of Christian religious matter. This was not an option of the artist, as the Catholic Church had total control, and nearly every work of art during that period had to be of Christian religious themes, lest the artist be charged with heresy, which meant torture and death, that reveal flying saucers hovering over the Nazarene, and other signs that this foul religion was a hoax, and the people knew it, but were severely oppressed. Great clouds obscuring the sun in the painting Calling of the First Apostles by Domenico Ghirlandaio in 1481 reveals a dismal atmosphere that indicates a sad occasion and says plenty. Carlo Crivelli's painting of the Annunciation in 1486 blatantly reveals a UFO hovering over the Virgin and beaming a stream of light into her head. Many artists alluded to flying saucers by painting lenticular clouds in the skies of their works. Another one I want to add is the way a lot of Gentile artists painted these Catholic popes. They all accented the nose and the Jewish features so that people would know in future generations. I mean, they were all enslaved terribly. Leonardo's famous Last Supper painting displays the apostles of the Nazarene in four groups of three, indicating the signs of the zodiac, and the implication is he knew Christianity was a hoax. Many other paintings of the period have hidden messages in them concerning the hoax of Christianity, if one takes the time to study them. There have been several reports, of which I posted links with the details at the bottom of the page, of the Smithsonian Institute dumping barges full of ancient artifacts into the Atlantic Ocean. Many of these were Egyptian in origin and found in the United States. Anything that disputes the Christian religion comes under intense scrutiny. Since the Jews, Christians, and Muslims claim the world to be only approximately 6,000 years old, there has always been a conflict with the truth in promoting this lie. Anyone with even half a brain knows there were no weapons of mass destruction in Iraq. In spite of hundreds of worldwide protests against the invasion and the United Nations giving Iraq a clean report, George W. Bush pushed relentlessly for the attack on Iraq. Of course, it is just fine for Israel and the United States to have all the weapons of mass destruction they please with no outside interference whatsoever. We all know Mr. Bush is a born-again Christian. The real reason behind all of this seems to point towards the destruction of important ancient relics and documents that prove Judaism and Christianity are lies, as well as Islam. Saddam Hussein believed himself to be the reincarnation of Nebuchadnezzar. With this belief, he spent some $500 million during the 1980s attempting to reconstruct ancient Babylon, the capital of Nebuchadnezzar. Over 60 million bricks were created to replace the walls of Babylon with the engraving to King Nebuchadnezzar. I'm sorry about pronouncing that. I'm just reading these off the bat. In the reign of Saddam Hussein. There were many ancient temples and relics buried beneath the sands of Iraq that were proof of the origins of humanity. Whether they are still there given the invasion is unknown. American and British GIs were given the go-ahead from the top brass to destroy and or loot whatever they please from the Iraqi museums. Saddam Hussein was also working on restoring the ancient Ashurbanipal library, which was the earliest known collected and cataloged library in the world. The text therein originated before the flood. British archaeologists in the mid-19th century at Nineveh excavated some 25,000 cuneiform tablets assembled by King Ashurbanipal, which nearly all of are now in the British Museum. As of April 2002, the Iraqi archaeologists asked the British Museum if they would allow casts of the tablets to be made. Though copies were made in the past of certain tablets, this would have been the first any significant number would have been made available as copies. The proposed reconstructed library at Nineveh would have held copies of all of the tablets from the British Museum and was planned to be a center for scholars and a tourist attraction. Next door to the library was to be a center for cuneiform study. Plans were also made to excavate one of the wings of King Ashurbanipal's palace in Kuyunjik Mound, where it was hoped that thousands of other buried tablets would be found. There are some 10,000 archaeological sites scattered across Iraq, and most of them have not even been touched. According to archaeologists, thieves have broken into the Iraqi museums repeatedly and have stolen Sumerian artifacts. This occurred before the war as well. Expensive gold jewelry and ornaments were left behind. What they went after, the ancient records in the form of cylinders and cuneiform tablets. United Nations relief workers and foreign diplomats were several times accused by the Iraqi government of smuggling these artifacts out of the country. In the summer of 2002, an Iraqi landlord was cleaning a vacant Baghdad apartment that was formerly occupied by a foreign diplomat. The landlord found two cartons of archaeological fragments. The Iraqi government never named the diplomat or his country. Saddam assuredly knows that the release of documentation proving Judaism and Christianity as derivatives or copies of an ancient Sumerian religion could have a devastating effect on global affairs. When George W. Bush stood before the Washington Monument in January of 2001, during his inauguration, he borrowed a surprising image from the past. Referring to America twice, he said, "And an angel still rides the whirlwinds and directs this storm." Throughout the ages, after the manifestation of Judaism and Christianity, every attempt has been made from mass murder to the destruction and razing of entire cities and the genocide of entire peoples to keep the lid on this lie. The devil, not the Judeo-Christian God, was the creator of humanity. Parts of the above information were taken from the book Cloak of the Illuminati by William Henry, copyright 2003. The author has a lot of useful information if one can read between the lines, but is seriously deluded as to the Nazarene. The Nazarene, as we all know, is fictitious. As for the Virgin, this entity stole everything from Ashtaroth while Ashtaroth was bound. Excerpts from links below concerning archaeological cover-ups. Smithsonian at one time had actually taken a barge full of unusual artifacts out into the Atlantic and dumped them in the ocean. Historian and linguist Carl Hart, editor of World Explorer, then obtained a hiker's map of the Grand Canyon from a bookstore in Chicago. Poring over the map, we were amazed to see that much of the area on the north side of the canyon has Egyptian names. The area around 94 Mile Creek and Trinity Creek has areas, rock formations apparently, with names like Tower of Set, Tower of Ra, Horus Temple, Osiris Temple, and Isis Temple. In the Haunted Canyon area were such names as Cheops Pyramid, the Buddha Cloister, Buddha Temple, Manu Temple, and Shiva Temple. Was there any relationship between these places and the alleged Egyptian discoveries in the Grand Canyon? The Smithsonian. The 1909 article clearly states that the Smithsonian is involved with studying and excavating the site. However, the Smithsonian denies that any such discovery ever occurred. This brings up the larger question that if this was a true story, why would the Smithsonian have covered up what certainty would be one of the most significant archaeological finds of the 20th century? Believe it or not, there is precedence for the Smithsonian losing information about discoveries that are deemed to not fit with the currently accepted dogma about the history of America and its interaction or lack thereof with other ancient civilizations.